Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to now officially Thursday morning's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. It's March 22nd, 2007, midnight here on the nose here in the Central Time Zone. And welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org and, of course, franklyspeakingradio.com. While you're there, click on the link for our guest this evening. That would be Jim Mars, the website. Strangely enough, jimmars.com. Jim, welcome back.
Oh, I didn't know I went anywhere.
Fair enough. Hey, okay. When we left off, just in that last segment, you were talking about the reasons why the Pentagon was hit.
Right. The first general reason was so nobody would immediately suspect our own military of being behind the 9/11 attacks. I mean, after all, the Pentagon was hit, so the thought never even really crossed anybody's mind. And yet, if you think about it, if the Pentagon had not been hit, if it had been just New York, then a lot of people would have started questioning about, well, where was the military? Where was the interceptors? Why didn't we prevent this? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the specific reason why the Pentagon was hit is because a day or two before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld, then Secretary of Defense, had admitted publicly that the Pentagon could not account for $2.3 trillion.
Wow.
Gee, I had it when it came in. You know, I don't know what happened to it. Now, the largest loss of life within the Pentagon happened to have occurred in the Army's accounting office. The very people who would have been responsible for trying to figure out where that $2.3 trillion went.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Extremely convenient.
And talk about another convenient fact of 9/11 is the collapse of Building 7, the third building that collapsed in New York or was blown up or whatever happened to it. And that only had some fires. Those fires are between the 8th and 13th floor, and right in there it just happened to be the offices of the Federal Trade Commission. They have admitted that when they lost Building 7, they lost over 7,000 prosecution files against Enron, World.com, and some of those other giant corporate malfeasance.
Wow.
Wow is right. Isn't that convenient?
That is.
Now, you know, if we just simply played gumshoe detective, when something like this happens, the first question you ask yourself is, who benefited from this?
That's right.
Did Osama bin Laden benefit? No, he became more wanted than ever.
That's right.
Did the Muslim terrorists become, you know, did they benefit? No, we've been hunting them down on every corner of the earth. So who benefited? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people who didn't want these giant corporations prosecuted, the people who wanted to strip us of our constitutional rights, the people who wanted to create homeland security so that we'd have a national police force that they could direct out of Washington, D.C., something that even J. Edgar Hoover fought against his entire career. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, so again, we're back to the question of, yes, 9/11 was a conspiracy, but whose conspiracy was it?
Yes, very, very well said. The other thing, too, looking at the whole thing, as you mentioned, very convenient for the powers that be in this country that these particular targets, these particular events transpired. The other thing I would say is 9/11, the official version, is a series of coincidences so not coincidental that you have to wonder. And you would say, where's Murphy's Law in all of this stuff? You know, you've got a couple of guys, and they get together and they plan these things. They've been waiting in the wings for a few years here in America, and they all get together and pull off this incredibly stunning, diabolical, yet deviously brilliant act of terror on America, and only manage to take out evidence that would implicate the powers that be. And what an amazing coincidence. I mean, it's just one thing after the other.
It just goes on and on. Well,
yeah.
Let me tell you, they even telegraphed their intentions. Now, let's go back to 1992, the tail end of the first Bush administration, and if you'll think back, and I know that's tough because it appears to me the average memory span of an American is about 15 minutes. But if you go back, you'll find the Secretary of Defense was Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Cheney issued a defense guidance policy paper in which he said, we need to invade Afghanistan, and we need to have a regime change in Iraq. We need to have a U.S. military buildup in the Middle East so we can gain control over the oil resources.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody just thought he was a nutty hawk, and nobody paid much attention. And we got the Clinton years, you know, with Monica and all that stuff going on. And then in 2000, the Bush administration comes in, and Dick Cheney is now vice president. Well, Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and Pearl and a bunch of these neocons were all members of a neocon think tank called the Project for a New American Century. And in September of 2000, they issued a big guidance policy paper called Rebuilding America's Defenses. And guess what they advocated? Invasion of Afghanistan, regime change in Iraq, and a military buildup in the Middle East so we can gain control over the oil resources.
Wow.
But whoever wrote their paper was pretty prescient. They said, this will be a tough sell to the American public unless there is a catastrophic and event like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, a year later, they got it.
Yes.
How convenient.
Amazing stuff. And this whole book that you've got here, The Terror Conspiracy, Deception, 9/11, and the Loss of Liberty, is such an amazing and complete picture, Jim, that I remember actually passing around your book, Inside Job, to members of my family, because I thought it was such an incredibly concise, important, and indisputable look at the events of 9/11, and obviously the terror conspiracy is so much more. That this is a perfect book for people who don't know anything about all this stuff. You know, it really does educate people without beating them over the head with all of it.
That's true, and I've done it in my usual journalistic style. I don't rant and rave. I don't call names.
Nope.
You know, I simply lay out the facts. And by the way, Inside Job did quite well, but it only saw limited distribution, and it is no longer available. But all the information that was in Inside Job is in The Terror Conspiracy.
Wonderful.
Plus two-thirds more. I might also point out that The Terror Conspiracy has 32 pages of notes,
mm-hmm.
sources. Here's where it comes from, and
right.
most of it came from mainstream reports. But unless you're keeping up with it on a day-to-day basis and you correlate all the information and then sit down and analyze it and say, now, where does all this lead to, then, you know, you don't have an understanding of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yes, everything is meticulously sourced and referenced, and I certainly appreciate that myself because, you know, when we do this show, Jim, we go through our news segments, I try to pull from information that's widely considered to be mainstream, and therefore it's the same sources that someone would use to tell me I'm a crazy person. They'd say, well, the New York Times says, this quote from Bush says that you're asking questions and that makes you a terrorist sympathizer. And I'd say, well, the New York Times had this to say on September 12, 2001, you know, or something like that.
Right.
And then they don't quite know what to say. So I love that, and I
right.
love your book for those reasons.
Well, you know, you can argue politics, but you can't argue with the facts.
That's right.
And the other point I'd make here is that we're not talking politics.
That's right.
Politics is when everybody decides they need new roads or new schools or new infrastructure, and then they argue over how to get the money and how to get it all done. That's
mm-hmm.
politics. That's a normal thing. We're not talking here about politics. We're talking about the death of 3,000 Americans. We're talking about murder. We're talking about the possibility of treason.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about criminal acts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not politics. We're talking criminality here.
Yes. Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, let me ask you this. As far as September 11th, then, do you think there'll ever be some sort of truthful admission about the whole thing? I mean, certainly there were and are people involved, as there are in any conspiracy. You have to have people to conspire with. Why have we not seen anybody come forward with some information, say, yes, I was actually the guy, you know, I sat down and I did this, this, and this. I was actively involved. Here's my role, and here's what I know other people's roles were.
Okay, I'll explain that, hopefully, in some detail for you.
Good, because that's a question I hear often, and obviously, you know, I have my own theories, but I'd much rather hear yours.
I think there were probably multiple dozens of people involved in the attacks on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right here in America.
Yeah.
But most of them did not know what they were participating in. Okay? And so later, they were constrained by military secrecy or secrecy oaths or company policy, and they didn't really understand how it all went together anyway, and that's why they've not spoken out. But yet, plenty of people have spoken out. Mm-hmm. I interviewed a Sergeant Lauro Chavez, who was a computer expert for the American Southern Command. And on the morning of 9/11, he was in the Southern Command Center in Florida, and he said they were running war game exercises that morning that, quite unusually, had been labeled top secret. Among the exercises that they were running was hijacked airplanes being flown into the World Trade Center. And he said all of a sudden there was a huge buzz going on in the Southern Command Center, and somebody finally kicked on CNN, and they realized that these hijacked planes had flown into the World Trade Center. And they were all dumbfounded, and they were asking themselves, how is this possible that the very scenario that we were wargaming turns out to happen in real life? Now, in those scenarios, not only were they just running these plans and these options, war games, simulating these flights flying into the World Trade Center, but they actually had what they call inputs, which are false electronic images on their radar screens representing hijacked airplanes. There were maybe as many as two dozen of them.
Wow.
No wonder everybody was confused and didn't know what was real and what was not. Now, I might point out that I became aware of these war game exercises before the end of 2001. But when I try to tell people about that, they say, oh, that's just an internet rumor, you know. Nobody heard about these war game exercises until later in 2002, when the then terrorism, counterterrorism chief, Richard Clark, published a book, and within six pages, he said on the morning of 9/11, when he contacted General Myers of NORAD and said, have we got any interceptors in the air? Myers' first response was, well, we're in the middle of a war game exercise. Okay? So you can see that these war game exercises, which now is finally leaked out over a period of time, a lot of our interceptors were sent up into Canada under a Cold War scenario of a Russian attack coming across the North Pole. Well, excuse me, the Cold War had ended 10 years earlier. Why were they running exercises like that? They were sent out over the Atlantic, okay? And that's what allowed the attacks to succeed. Now, did the hijackers know these war games are going on? And I would submit, yes, I believe they did. And this is why, because it has now been firmly affirmed, there was a piece in the U.S. News and World Report about this, that the National Security Agency, the day before 9/11, had intercepted a transmission from Mohammed Atta, who we are told was the leader of the hijackers, and he said, quote, the match is about to begin. Tomorrow is 0 hour. Now, this goes back to a meeting of the terrorists in Spain back in August, which we now know was apparently monitored by our intelligence agents, okay? Mm-hmm. And because what we learn is that they were asking Mohammed Atta, okay, when is this going to happen? And he says, well, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Now, wait a minute. He's the leader, and he doesn't know when the attacks can take place? And then we get his message on the 10th, the match is about to begin tomorrow, 0 hour. He didn't say the jihad or the attack or the operation. He said the match.
Mm.
The games begin tomorrow, and that's when we are going to launch the attack. And how could he have known about these war game exercises, which were denied for months, which were classified top secret, and which the American public didn't know about for more than a year? How did he know? He could only have known with inside information. And to me, that's the one key piece of evidence to prove that 9/11 was an inside job.
Wow, that's extremely powerful stuff. Fantastic. Jim, I want to ask you this, because they would probably view September 11th as a stunning success. I mean, they achieved everything they wanted.
Right.
Bush said, the terrorists hate us for our freedoms. So, American people, if you give up your freedoms, then you won't have any freedoms, and the terrorists won't hate you anymore. And people said, okay, that sounds like a plan to me.
That's about right. But I also recall President Bush on the afternoon or evening of 9/11 saying something to the effect of, we must not rest until we find out who's responsible
yes.
for these terrible attacks and see that they're punished. And you know what? I agree with him on that. In fact,
yes.
I think I'm only working to support my president.
Amen, sir. Hail to the leader.
The only problem is, when you really start studying the evidence, the trail leads back to the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which would be an excellent time to bring up his comment, which I'm sure you probably know verbatim and I can only briefly recall. It's something along the lines of, we must not allow people to buy into conspiracy theories about who was responsible for September 11th.
That's right. In other words, don't think about it, folks.
That's right.
Don't look too deeply. don't look behind the green curtain.
That's right. We must not rest till we find out who did it, but we also can't listen to anybody who says anything different than what we say.
That's right. And you know what? The message, too, in the months following 9/11 going into the Christmas season of 2001-2002, the message was, be fearful.
Yeah.
Be very, very fearful. But hey, go shopping. You know.
Yes.
You know. Don't let up on the consumerism.
That's right. It's and we heard that, and we still hear that to this day. We hear things like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When are they going to do something else?
Right.
And then of course the other statement, as you mentioned, is, if you don't go to Disney World, the terrorists have won. If you don't shop at Walmart, the terrorists have won. If you don't go to work, the terrorists have won. So
right.
Go to work.
That's right.
Keep the machine going. Do you think we'll have, because again, it's an interesting thing when you look at September 11th versus all the other incidents of government-sponsored terrorism in U.S. history and beyond that. This is the first one that has so much attention focused on it and so much information accessible to people, like books such as yours and all of yours, in fact. Then you've got the internet, and you've got all sorts of different media available to people.
Right.
We're the most plugged-in society of all of human history, and they still pulled it off. So my question is, are they gun-shy about it? Are they going to try another one? Because it's my assessment that if they do another one, that because of this foundation of fear that we rest upon in these times, they will simply clamp down on everything. They'll shut down radio. They'll shut down non-approved.
We'll go under martial law.
Instantly.
You know, one of the leading Pentagon generals even publicly stated that. He said if there's another major terrorist attack, we'll be under martial law.
Oh, yeah. Tommy Franks, December 2003, Cigar Aficionado Magazine, one of the most important stories that we've ever had. Because if anybody knows what the plan is, it's got to be him.
That's right. Now, you asked me a while ago, you know, and basically you've asked me several questions that boil down to, will we ever know the truth?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you the upside and the downside. I'll tell you the downside first, and this is the thing that concerns me, is that, and of course I cut my teeth on the Kennedy assassination. 6 years after the Kennedy assassination, it was not considered socially acceptable to even talk about the assassination in polite company.
Wow.
And it was only like 20 years after the fact that people began to question. We had the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which concluded that there was probably a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy. Mm-hmm. That, by the way, is the last official word of the federal government of the United States. There was probably a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy because they had scientific evidence that there was another shot or shots from the infamous grassy knoll.
Mm.
Okay? And so, but it's taken almost 42 years for the majority of people in this country for that information to trickle down to the point to where today the polls show that the overwhelming majority, up as high as 80-85% of the public in this country, now accept the idea that there was a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy, and a good percentage of those understand that it was a internal conspiracy
mm-hmm.
within the government of the United States. But now it's 42 years later, and it's like, ho-hum, that's old news. And, you know, kids have grown up knowing about the conspiracy to kill Kennedy, and it's like, well, what, you know, how does that impact me? Why should I get concerned about it? So my big fear is that they're going to drag out and lie and subterfuge and throw straw men and red herrings out to the point to where when the vast bulk of the American people finally come to understand that 9/11 was an inside job, it's going to be, so what? They'll be on to something else.
That's right.
Know? There'll be another glamorous celebrity who commits suicide or whatever, you know. And oh, we got to be concerned about that. Well, that's the downside, man. That's what I fear. But on the upside, we're only 6 years out from 9/11, and the polls show the vast majority of people in this country, 65% according to an MSNBC poll, and is higher in other polls, show that the majority of people in this country now do not buy the lone cave theory. Okay, they don't buy the official story,
right?
And that a lot, and you know, this goes back to like I forget when it was, maybe 2003, when they did a poll in New York City.
Oh yeah,
and 52% of the people said, you know, that the official story's bunk and that there were bombs in the buildings and that. And that the federal government had some kind of hand in this. So it's really encouraging, you know, but then this brings up a point that I think you were hitting around on, which is the danger point, which is if these people are cornered and the evidence is beginning to be presented against them, they're liable to trigger another attack. So we go into martial law and they maintain their power and control.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my, it's a quandary, my friend, because, you know, when we spend all this time on the show trying to talk about these things, and you, with your incredible work for, you know, decades, you've been doing all this stuff, and you know, my concern is, will we expose them so much that they ramp it to the next level? And then, you know, I have to just put it in God's hands at that point. It's not, you know, it's nothing I can control.
Right, right. I think maybe the one reason why they haven't tried to take it to the next level is for the simple fact that there is a majority of people in this country today who do not buy the official 9/11 conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, if they try to pull off something else, people aren't going to be as stunned and as traumatized as we were on 9/11. They're going to start looking really hard at what happened. So they're going to, if they pull something else off, they're going to have to really get their ducks in a row. They're going to have to make sure that there's no leaks. There's, you know, 9/11, when you go back, there's just so much there. You know, I filled up the, you know, almost 500 pages in a book of the evidence that shows it was an inside job. For example, you know, we were told this was just a big sneak attack and nobody understood what was going to happen. And they just caught us off guard. Well, friends, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I detailed that over a dozen nations, and we now recently found out that Cuba was one of them, tried to warn us that we were about to be attacked.
Wow.
And nothing was done. In fact, worse than that. Not only was nothing done, but in both the Clinton administrations and the early Bush administration, there were actually steps taken within the FBI, within the CIA, to block any investigations into al-Qaeda.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Now, here's one other little tidbit. I'll just throw this out. It's totally now for something completely different. But this ought to give you something to really think about tonight. It's about now been reported that the Bush family has purchased about 7,000 acres in Paraguay. Now, just think about that a minute. You got a family that has produced two United States presidents, but they're going to buy a big estate down in Paraguay? You know, what do they know that they're not telling us?
Yes.
Or are they trying to line up a refuge where they can flee to instead of stand trial?
Excuse me. You know, that's very interesting because obviously when you look at all these firings of attorneys, that comes into play. And I wondered about that myself. But when I first read the story, my immediate thought was, if you look at the geographical significance of that area, it would seem that they're looking for higher ground, which led me to believe that you know, if you, and I know you probably have, the Pentagon climate report, which is just stunning in its implications.
Right. Oh, I hate to even go there because
that's a whole other show.
I want, yeah, that's another show, and Besides, I want your listeners to go and get a good night's sleep tonight. But, you know, we really are. We really are. And the Earth, everybody on the Earth, is in real imminent danger.
Yes.
Okay? Global warming is a fact. Okay? But let me point this out. Don't get snowballed into going for Al Gore and his ideas because he's representing the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop using our cars, and we have to stop, you know, we've got to stop all this
farting and things.
Yeah, all this high-tech living, our lifestyle that we have, and because that would stop global warming. But here's the key point. It's not global.
Mm-hmm.
It's solar system-wide.
Mm-hmm.
The polar caps on Mars are melting. The outer planets have become greatly more luminescent, okay, which means mm-hmm. they're heating up. You've got violent storms that have never been seen before on Jupiter and Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several other items I could go into. But the point being is it's not just the Earth. Something's happening and changing within our entire solar system.
Yes, absolutely. And
so don't get stampeded into following the New World Order's line that, okay, give up all your cars mm-hmm. and, you know, just wear a lot of sunblock and, you know, keep shopping.
Yeah. Otherwise, global warming will win.
That's right. That's right. Wow. And because this is something, you know, this is why that the Rockefellers and other of the prominent, rich, wealthy families in this country have been big funders of the environmental movement all along.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they want to neutralize any real movement towards that would be anti-corporate
mm-hmm.
that might slow up some of their corporations from polluting and from devastating the environment. But on the other hand, they want to use and get in and control the environment movement so that they can eventually stampede us into, you know, water rationing and
sure.
You know, all of this stuff.
Well, you know, and I think we've almost come full circle here, Jim, because that is sort of exactly what we've been talking about here on this program, is the importance of that, you know, the official version of global warming, that human beings are causing this. You look at all the money-making opportunities that are going into this thing. Then you also take a look at the evangelical churches, and I made the comment that the evangelicals you know, supported the Bush administration in 2000 and 2004 in the hopes of banning abortion and same-sex marriage. But in 2008, they'll probably push for the Democrats to kind of say, ha, Republicans, we'll teach you a thing or two. We're going to push for, you know, God's earth, and we need to protect it. So I think that's going to be the big...
Right. They'll,
yeah.
they'll grab more private property and declare it federal
sure.
protection zones.
That's so, right. You know. And you've got the UN rewilding program and shuffling people into these cities and allowing nature to reclaim its area. Then you've got the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is advocating, obviously, many, many things, including an international environmental group, which would be, of course, the one way that the majority of Americans who are sick and tired of an oil man establishment Republican president would open the door, the only way, probably, that Americans would open the door for the United Nations and their agenda here on U.S. soil.
Well, remember what I said about George Green's
yes.
quote from Volcker? We control them both. Okay? And so, yeah, what's going to happen is in 2008, you're going to see more and more scandals and revelations coming out against the Republicans, and a Democrat will be swept into office. But all the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, shredding of the Constitution, it'll all still be there.
That's right.
And they will continue it.
I'm telling you, I think that if they really wanted to reach the hearts and minds of Americans, the first thing they'd say, Jim, is, if you elect me, I'm going to abolish the Patriot Act. But that will never happen. Stay with us, folks. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio and our guest, Jim Mars.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinance it, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here because it's a rare treat. Jim Mars is with us, a fantastic amount of information, all of his books. We've talked mostly about his book, The Terror Conspiracy, Deception, 9/11, and The Loss of Liberty. It's an incredible book, a must-have for anybody interested in the truth, and you can pick that up probably just about anywhere, but certainly you can get the autographed copy, which I would encourage everybody to do, from Jim's website. It's www.jimmars.com. That's two M's, two R's. And Jim Mars, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that, and I hate to really take us in a new direction, but I think this is all actually logically progressing just perfectly. You mentioned about Well, gosh, a whole lot of things about the public and the opinion polls, about the Kennedy assassination, about September 11th, both things that you've written extensively about. Obviously, there's other areas where the public tends to doubt the government's truthfulness. In fact, probably everything under the sun. But certainly one thing that's very, very much talked about would be the Roswell crash. And this really all ties in with it, with a lot of things, because you've got now, Jim, as the skies appear to be offering up signs almost biblically, you've got a lot of different activity, asteroids, things like that, things brightening, comets approaching, asteroids, near collisions coming in the future. People are talking about meteors falling from the sky, all manner of things, and certainly UFOs as well.
Well, that's true. In fact, I'll make this statement, having written what I've been told is the top-selling nonfiction UFO book in the world.
Alien Agenda. Incredible.
Alien Agenda.
Incredible
book. That's right. It's been translated into so many different languages. And all I'll say to start off with is that anybody who's listening who says, oh, UFOs, snicker, snicker, and rolls their eyes, they will never, ever be able to figure out correctly what's happening in the world today if you just dismiss the subject of UFOs, because you cannot put the picture puzzle together if you throw away one of the biggest, most critical pieces.
Amen. Well said. Well said, Jim. And that's one of the things. I mean, everybody knows your name. You're all over the place. People seen you on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, all of your books, all the talk shows and all that stuff. But you know, I don't think due attention has been given to Alien Agenda in a lot of the truth movements, because a lot of people would, like you said, roll their eyes and say, oh, there's no place in truth talk for stuff like this. Absolutely there is.
Of course there is.
Everything is interconnected. You've made that point many times in your books.
For example, here's a thought for you. Perhaps one of the real reasons that we had to precipitously invade Iraq goes to the looting of the Iraqi National Museum in Baghdad.
That's right.
Right towards the end of the hostilities. In fact, if you'll think about it, we violated normal military strategy, which says you go and capture an objective, you consolidate your winnings, and you move on to the next objective. We made a beeline for Baghdad, and this is what's causing us a lot of problem right now, is that we never consolidated our hold over the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
It was all concentrated on Baghdad. And what happened in Baghdad? The looting of the Iraqi National Museum, even though world museum directors had obtained assurances from the Pentagon that they were well aware of the value, the historical and antiquity importance of the Iraqi National Museum, and yet it got looted. But Colonel Matthew Bogdanos, who studied and investigated the Iraqi Museum break-in under orders from General Tommy Franks, has stated that the real looting took place in the basement. Well, what's in the basement? That's new discoveries. And I have in my files Associated Press stories from 99, 2000, 2001, the effect that French and German archaeological teams were making amazing discoveries in Iraq. Okay? And so where would all those amazing discoveries go? It would go to the basement for study, for cataloging, before they put anything on display.
Wow.
And the looting of the Iraqi National Museum, by the way, was an inside job. It was a planned operation. Yes, they hired a crowd of street people who went in and grabbed anything they could get hold of as a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of Iraqis were around the museum shouting, don't do this, it's our national heritage. And but again, Colonel Bogdanos says it was the basement that was an inside job. They found glass cutters that are not commercially available in Iraq. Guards were suspiciously missing. Whoever went down there had keys to some of the vaults. They bypassed expensive-looking fakes and went right to the good stuff.
Wow.
And although a lot of the stuff that got taken by the cover crowd has been returned, because they all immediately went to the local flea market and tried to sell it, and of course they managed to get a lot of that back.
Mm-hmm.
But Colonel Bogdanos says in the basement they took more than 10,000 pieces, and they've only recovered a few hundred.
Wow.
And that's, now, what were they after? They were after the ancient texts, the ancient Sumerian tablets that speak of the Anunnaki, those who came from the heavens to the earth. And I think that somebody in the Pentagon or Langley either knew or feared that they might be putting their hands on ancient technological secrets that could provide them with new energy sources, with energy manipulation, and we had to have it first, and we couldn't let our potential enemies get hold of it. And if you'll remember, who were the two countries that most opposed our entry into Iraq? France and Germany.
Yeah.
They knew, I think they somewhere, they knew what we were really after. We were after these historical antiquities.
Wow.
That either could provide us with new technology or at least provide a more accurate understanding of our history.
Astounding.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, absolutely. And all this absolutely ties in so well, because you're absolutely right. If we're looking at and again, when you're talking about global warming is not just being, you know, relegated here to planet Earth, obviously there's no carbon-emitting life forms on these other planets. So what do they have in common? Well, they're all in our solar system. They're all affected by the sun. But also, they might all be affected by something like a Planet X type of event, in which case the Anunnaki and all of those type of things might come back into play as being extremely relevant.
Well, that's true. In fact, you know, I previously mentioned that the global warming is not just global. It's solar system-wide. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be two schools of thought on what's happening, but it could be that it's the same thing, and that is that the sun is acting very erratically. They said we had been in a period of high sunspot activity and that it should be dwindling, but instead it's increasing. And they're even predicting that we're going to see larger solar flares and more sunspot activity in the coming years. And the fact that this is a solar system-wide phenomena leads me to suspect that there is another body that is approaching our solar system. As far back as the 80s, scientists determined that there, because of the perturbations in the orbits of some of the outer planets, that there was another planet out there, a 10th planet or 9th now that they've demoted Pluto, but that was coming in, and of course celestial mechanics then come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may not be able to see this planet right now, it is already causing disturbances in our solar system.
Wow. Amazing stuff.
Something else to think about.
Absolutely, which if you take it as the big picture, again, folks, it's vital that you understand this. The integration of a one-world government for a variety of reasons, because the planet's on its last legs. We need to unite under the United Nations and implement these things to save the day. We need to implement control and surveillance mechanisms in order to make sure that nobody's damaging the environment. We have to also unite against a planetary threat of hoaxing UFO attacks or something like that, which our own retro-engineered craft could be utilized for. And at the same time, we need to go and facilitate this war on terror to acquire natural resources so we can control the wealth, even in a sort of catastrophic event like a Planet X flyby.
That's exactly right. And, you know, earlier you had mentioned, Frank, that it's like they're hurrying up their agenda because now they're feeling arrogant, successful, and they got their eye on the finish line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see the same thing happening, but it may not be that they can see their total control. It's that they are on a deadline pressure because they know within a few years everyone is going to realize that something is amiss and that something is not right, and there may be efforts to ameliorate the situation and to lessen the impact, and they want to make sure that they remain in control.
Oh, yeah. Well said, Jim. You summed it all up so well. And, you know, one of the things you and I discussed in previous interviews is the plethora of underground bases, hollowed out mountains, and what this is all about.
Right. Well, that comes back to early on, before the scientists and the think tanks had adequately figured out what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think these New World Order people decided that if they built a bunch of gigantic self-contained underground cities, they could ride out whatever the coming cataclysm may be. But I think now, again, since they now realize this is a solar system-wide event, that I think they're not so sure that they're going to be able to make it underground. So they're making other plans. But whatever happens, whether they try to go off-world or whatever, they still have to remain in control to get any of their plans accomplished.
Yeah, and going off-world, also an extremely important point. You know, here we've got the space shuttle blows up, and then Bush says, we need to really get out there further. What?
Yeah.
Where's the connection? All of a sudden we need to colonize the moon and get to Mars because the space shuttle blew up? It doesn't seem to make any sense. But again, when you start thinking of it as an escape plan, it changes the context of everything.
It does. Maybe they've decided that Paraguay is not far enough away. By the way, here's another thought. I'm sure you're well aware. I don't know if your listeners are, but I think, Frank, you are aware that in late 1942, the middle of World War II, a certain U.S. banker with Union Banking Corporation was actually prosecuted by the federal government under the Trading with the Enemies Act and accused of being nothing more than a financial front man for Hitler and the Nazis. And, of course, that was Prescott Bush,
ta-da,
the grandfather of our current president and the father of our former president. So when I heard that they were buying property down in Paraguay, my first thought was, I guess they wanted to go down there and be with their Nazi buddies.
That's right. It's an excellent point. There's certainly that connection. And then, of course, he was a Skull and Bonesman as well.
Of course. I wonder if they're going to name their big estate Morton Borman Estates.
Jim, you know, I know our time is short here. We've got some people that have been patiently waiting on the phone lines to speak with you. Do you mind if we take some calls for the next 15 minutes?
Absolutely not. Let's hear it. You know, you and I have spoke long enough. Let's find out what the people want to know.
Sounds great. Folks, our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And, Jim, just on a side note, before we jump into the calls, I got to say it has been entirely too long since we've done a show together. We have to have you back sooner than this last break.
I think you're right. There's just so much going on, so much to talk about.
Absolutely. Ron in Texas, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, Frank and Jim. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm just really honored to have the opportunity to do that. I'm a physicist, and I'm also a broadcaster nowadays, and I've been working with Drew Raines, who's working in American Voice, and the micro effect. I've been speaking with Pilots for 9/11 Truth. We spoke with Rob Balsamo and also with John Lear and had them on the air. Striking thing was that they've uncovered that they have, the Pilots for 9/11 Truth have done an analysis on the flight recorder data, and it shows conclusively that the airplane was Flight 11 was Flight 77 was actually 479 feet above mean sea level, which is about like 460 feet or 440 feet above the ground. So it could have never hit the building. That's conclusive data. Did you know that?
Yes, I was aware of that. In fact, now there are some witnesses who have come forward who said they did see the big airliner, but it was heading away from the Pentagon.
Wow.
Okay, so the piece that I have, see, I put that we keyed this together with the Pentagon video. And what the Pentagon video said, this is striking. By the way, this is a great piece of information you have. It was that what the Pentagon video had eyewitnesses saying that the plane was, the plane and approach was north, on the north side of the Sitka, which would have taken it out of the line of the poles, you know, the light poles there.
Right.
And that's the flight recorder data exactly confirms it, right on the money.
That's true. So when people say, well, what happened to the airliner? Well, number one, it did not hit the Pentagon. Number
Absolutely.
Two, it overflew Washington. And if you read my book, sir, you may be aware that I deal a great deal with the Global Hawk technology,
right.
which is electronic control and guidance over
right.
aircraft. So if they had control of that aircraft, they could have simply made a 90-degree turn and flew it off over the Atlantic, dropped it in the ocean, and since they told everybody, oh, it hit the Pentagon, nobody's out there looking for it, and it's, all the evidence has disappeared.
Mm-hmm. It's actually all there, and it's really striking. I've also had Lorraine Murray on one of my shows, and I wanted to confirm a statement that she had made that that the EPA had reported to her that depleted uranium had been on that plane. The plane, whatever the plane was. And secondly, and here's the other striking part about it, that there was radioactive contamination found at the site. EPA reported that. When I spoke to her on the show, it was a week ago, last Saturday, I said, do you confirm that? Or was, I mean, it was in an article, you know, in an article that she had said it. She said, absolutely. She said she's absolutely confirms that, that the EPA said at that time that was true. But
running out of time, Ron. Hurry up.
Since their reporters have tried to confirm it.
Confirm that there was DU on the airplanes. That's the first I've heard of that, and I can't understand why they'd be carrying depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, and it is true, that early on the EPA did say that there was higher than normal radiation readings around Ground Zero.
Absolutely.
At the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Wow, fantastic
Thanks.
Stuff.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate the call. Jim, hang on a second, my friend. We'll come back. We'll squeeze in another call. We'll wrap up with a great man, folks. Jim Mars, prolific writer, researcher, investigative journalist, award winner. The guy is just something else. And lots of great information available on his website, www.jimmars.com. That's JIMMARRS.com. Stay with us.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. The website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians. Major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
1, 2, 3,
go!
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I know for sure.
If you're here, tail end of hour number two of our now Thursday morning edition, Frankly Speaking Radio. We've kept Jim Mars up really late tonight, but we love him for it. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And we didn't even get into the NAFTA superhighway that's going to split this country in half.
Oh, I know it. We've got many, many hours ahead of us of interview time. And if as long as you're willing to stay up late, I would be honored for you to be here. Let's squeeze in this last call. Bob from Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about 9/11 and then go back to your original question about the gun control thing. When I talk to people about 9/11, I try to keep it simple. Mm. I'd like to talk about all the short-selling that went on before 9/11 and the fact that when 9/11 was going on, the most protected airspace in our country, the Pentagon, could not be protected. Their president was down there at a school reading a book upside down, and the Secret Service didn't rush him off when for an hour and a half planes were flying around crashing into buildings. What did your guests think about that?
Excellent question. Thank you very much, Jim.
Right. Those are excellent questions, and they're all dealt with in my book, The Terror Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of the protection of the Pentagon, I know for a fact that there are automated missile batteries located around the Pentagon and, in fact, Washington, D.C., and that the only way that you're going to fly in that restricted airspace and not get shot down is one of two things. You either send out a coded signal that says you're a friendly and these missile batteries are not activated, or you turn them off. Okay? Mm-hmm. So either way, what went on 9/11? Mm-hmm. Okay, was the whatever hit the Pentagon sending a friendly signal, or did somebody turn off the batteries?
Excellent.
It just goes on and on and on. The bottom line is that 9/11 happened, but we have not been told the truth about who was behind 9/11.
Yeah, excellent, excellent point. Bob, did you want to ask about guns quickly?
You know, they need to follow the money.
Yeah.
Amen. And I cover that whole short selling of stock in my book, The Terror Conspiracy. You know, we all heard those stories days after 9/11 that there was this suspicious short selling of stock, which means somebody had foreknowledge of the attacks.
Yes.
Because all the short selling was on American and United Airlines and their insurance carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a big deal about this for a few days and said the FBI was going to see if that didn't track back to Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
But you never heard any more about it, have you?
Nope.
And the reason you haven't is because that the investigations led back to people connected to our own CIA.
Well, plus there was the Odigo instant messages, the fact that the gold, remember all the stories about the gold under the World Trade Center?
Uh-huh.
That those stories also went away, so it's one thing after the other. Amazing coincidences, conveniently for the powers that be. Jim Mars, you are a godsend to all human beings, my friend. Please keep doing everything you're doing.
I'm doing my job.
You're doing it well. We appreciate the time you've given us tonight. Folks, Jim's website, jimmars.com, and the book we've been discussing, of course, incredibly lengthy book. It's almost 500 pages. The Terror Conspiracy, available there at his website. God bless you, Jim. Folks,
yeah, also available at bookstores.
Wonderful. Back in a minute.
You got headaches?